Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
He'll cut in line at the grocery store. He's cut in front of his own kids at the snow cone stand for the last mango pineapple. And now he's demanding his own segment. Here's Cody's Corner.
As much as I'd like to continue our break monkeypox conversation, we can do that later, maybe.
Yeah.
Instead, get to Cody's Corner. That's, you know, we talk about all kinds of things.
You said you look dangerous. You said you would look dangerous.
I was just talking about, like, I don't know, look weird. It doesn't really matter. The text line really wanted addressed.
You guys just breezed over the fact Cody said he would look dangerous bald.
Mm-hmm. I stand by it. Cracked my head open when I was a kid. They had to sew it all back
We've shared this story. I had to have staples on my head as well.
So you also have scars all over your
head. I don't know if I have a scar all over my head. I haven't looked. You know, I've had hair for a while. I haven't exactly looked. I don't know what it looks like.
I haven't peeked behind the curtain for a bit, huh?
I haven't done that. I'm not sure.
Maybe next time. Yeah. But instead, I want to address something that happened both yesterday then again this morning on stories that are floating around the Washington now Commanders in the NFL. If you missed it earlier this week, there was a story out that the NFL was essentially conducting a straw poll on whether or not they wanted to vote out Dan Gilbert. Obviously, after the financial impropriety story came out and is still being investigated by the NFL, that seemed as likely of time as ever that Dan Snyder would be kicked out of the NFL. Now, just so happens yesterday, the story fully leaks of the land that they've bought in Arlington
Virginia,
in a huge plot of land that they would like to build a $3 billion stadium and complex and entertainment district to go to the stadium. This is not an accident. Snyder's trying to distract you from the fact that the other NFL owners want to kick him out of the league. And this is you can call it reckless speculation if you want. I think he helped leak the news of the stadium and the buying of the site in an effort to convince the rest of the owners that he's worth the money. He's worth the hassle. Because if you put a $3 billion site into the NFL, then everybody gets to make money. Like, that's the way that this works. I do not think that these coinciding are an accident. That in the same week that there's a story about Snyder possibly being out of the NFL because the NFL owners are trying to figure out whether or not they want to keep him around. They need 24 votes to do it, by the way. That it just so happens to be the time that they're going to leak all the story about, oh, they have land and they want to build this $3 billion complex and all that.
I mean, I get the logic. I think it makes sense. Everything you're saying makes sense. I would say, though, that the stadium stuff has been rumored before, and there's, of course, been so many other allegations before that have also come out.
Yeah, but they didn't care about those. The NFL owners don't care about him sexually assaulting people. They just don't. NFL owners care about. They care about you messing with their money.
Right, but we talked about a month or two ago when the story came out that perhaps Dan Snyder was withholding ticket revenue that is supposed to be shared amongst other owners. And at the time, we said, look, this might actually be what forces him out of Washington, because the one thing that owners do really care about is their pocketbook. And so if they are finding out they're losing out on millions of dollars because Dan Snyder's been holding out on them, then that actually might upset them more so than anything else. Like, that might have been the actual impact to that actual event that will get him out of ownership. The stadium thing, yeah, I don't disagree that the article probably came out because of it. It's just that the stadium rumors in the Maryland, Virginia area has been, you know, that's been rumored for a little while.
I know, but the timing, like, there's the renderings, they're buying the land. I honestly think that a lot of this is an effort by Snyder to convince them he's worth more money than he's cost them. Because right now he's costing them money. He's costing the money in either withholding the funds and keeping two separate books, or he's costing the money by being a negative image in the NFL for the last 20 years, and it finally builds up over time. This is his way to say, I'll make you money. I'm going to bring up all the height of the league. There's another $3 billion stadium. That means you can get your $3 billion project, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. His attempt in this, I think, is to prove his value over the value of others. And I think that, like, honestly, that's the function that essentially, I understand why he's trying to do it, yeah. But that the NFL need, like, he's a bad owner anyway. You think the next owner couldn't get a $3 billion stadium project approved? Like, it's the NFL. Everyone approves these stadium projects. No one has a problem getting a new stadium in the NFL unless you're the Raiders. They're the only one. And honestly, they probably could have gotten a new stadium too. We just talked about yesterday how St. Louis approved the stadium for Stan Kroenke. And they had just built the Edward Jones Dome. They were still paying on it. They still had a lease for 10, 15 years on that stadium. And then still approved to give him money for a new stadium. And he still moved the damn team. So no, they're not going to have any problem getting this. But it's just like, I'm glad the NFL owners are actually finally taking a straw poll for this. Because if you read the story about that, they're very serious about it. They're trying to gauge if they got the 24 votes to get him out.
There's the PR mess with, remember, Congress is investigating Dan Snyder and the Washington Commanders. So you have the PR mess that's a bad look for the league. And then all the other sexual harassment allegations that have been within the organization. And then the direct hit, which is perhaps the owner's pocketbooks on the ticket revenue sharing kind of scheme that he allegedly did. There was even a quote in the USA Today that said, there's growing frustration about the Washington situation, not over one issue. I think everybody's getting tired of it. It went on to say that a second owner told USA Today, if the financial improprieties, again, that's the ticket stuff, happened, I think that's the nail in the coffin. We are counting votes. And as you said, Cody, they need 24 votes among the NFL ownership to actually oust him as owner of the Washington Commanders, who I still just want to call the Washington football team. Because it kind of grew on me a little bit. The Commanders just sounds weird.
I know, but that's what you thought about Washington football team.
I know. So. You get used to stuff. The Commanders just seems very XFL, USFL, minor league-ish.
But do you think that about a new NFL team if they just renamed themselves the next day? Because, like, if the Jaguars never existed and then all of a sudden there was a Jaguars in the NFL, I'm like, that sounds like it belongs in the XFL. That doesn't sound like a real football
team. Sure, yeah, over time it'll get better. It's just that Washington's had three names.
Chargers.
Washington's had three names, essentially, in the last
5 years.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah.
I don't know if this Hail Mary attempt's going to work, but it seems to me, like, if you read the article about the NFL owners, and there's several anonymous quotes, admittedly, from NFL owners. Yeah, of course it's a buildup. And it's the money thing. It's always the money thing. Like, it should be enough to not want a guy in an organization if he's reportedly, like, sharing lewd photos of cheerleaders who belong, you know, who worked for his franchise. That should be enough. That should be enough to oust an NFL owner. Hell, it was enough to oust Jerry Richardson, or maybe he went more quietly into that good night. Because I think part of it's that. I think Richardson was more willing to leave faster, and Snyder is like, fights it. Same reason he fought the name change. Same reason, like, he's fighting everything tooth and nail because he doesn't want to get out.
Yeah,
he likes it.
From the 816, if he 100% refused to sell, how would they out him? Well, look at the Donald Sterling situation.
They can 24 votes. Yeah, the NFL has a thing.
That's what it is. That's what the votes are about. It's that's how they would oust him. Just like in the NBA when Donald Sterling was forced to sell the Clippers, they got enough votes and they forced him to sell the team. That's the other owners can out any owner they want at that point in time of the league. If they get enough votes.
Correct.
Doesn't really matter. They technically don't have the, like, legitimate reason. If the 24 just all of a sudden...
The 24 decide? They can just decide they don't like him.
Yeah.
But they got more than enough grounds.
Yeah, that's not an issue.
Do they have enough grounds to do it? No, but we know he's going to fight it. Remember, the only reason, as a reminder, the only reason that Snyder changed the name was because five major endorsers of their franchise decided to no longer give him money. Remember, FedEx says we're pulling out. It's not going to be FedEx Field anymore. We're going to get out of it. Dime time?
Dime time. Dime time. A live one coming tomorrow.
The final ever.
Uh-huh.
I think that's official, right? The final ever tomorrow.
I think so.
So when did we have the discussion that tomorrow was going to be the last dime time?
Because he is going to be in studio tomorrow. You'll be out. And
his last day's in a week.
Yeah, he's gone. Like, he's leaving.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the take stop.
Yeah, no, but the last live Dime Time is definitively tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely live. And then likely Dime Time will come to an end shortly after once he's no longer employed.
I think show vote. Show vote should once Dime Time stay.
Well, once he's no longer here.
No, I know if we do a show vote, I'll lose.
Not necessarily.
I'm interested.
You think you could be a swing vote?
I could be a swing vote. Goal to no. You're a yes. I kind of like being in
when
the middle.
When he's gone, it doesn't make sense for him. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we started it when he wasn't here.
No, he was employed by our station.
So yeah, but I mean, he's working a couple hours a week.
No, 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 but he literally won't even
about
be.
It was never about his employment. Moving, it was about the takes.
Right, but he's moving to Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I mean, so employment status shouldn't affect. So it's like
it's
this.
About the takes and the rhyming scheme.
It's like this. So like if I didn't work here anymore, you wouldn't want to be my friend?
No, we wouldn't have Nick's Notable Notes anymore. That's what we wouldn't have anymore.
If that's definitive.
Well, I mean, yes. We did used to do Pop Culture Corner with the producer that preceded you. Yeah. We don't do that anymore. Yeah,
but Nick's Notable Notes has been a smash success.
I know, but like, look, we'll have to get, like, we'll have Rick. We'll get a producer named Rick.
Ricks. But the, you don't get the same alliteration.
Well, it'll be Rick's Notable
Rick's
Notes.
Rick's Reasonable.
Rants. Let's get Rick.
That's actually not bad.
Or we'll just hire another Nick that day comes.
Let's get to today's edition of Dime Time. I miss Nori Aoki.
Okay.
Do you guys miss Nori Aoki?
Not really.
Did not expect that one from Dimes. Was that during the Diamondbacks game last night?
Yeah, it was late last night. It was about 11 o'clock.
Nori is 40 years old now. He is still playing in Japan, as a matter of fact. How about that? Still playing.
Who knew that Dimes was so analytically savvy? Yesterday, before the game, doing a little deep dive on Brady Singer.
Okay.
Cody, we may need to rely upon you to translate this for us. Brady sure. Singer has the fifth highest B-dash war on the Royals, only trailing Benny, Keller, Barlow, and Greinke. What is B/war?
Well, so B, what, like,
why does baseball statistics have the stupidest, like, they're all just like formulas, whereas other, like, make it make sense. I can hardly, I don't even know how to, like, to enunciate. Like, what? How do you even say that?
So, you know what war is?
Wins above replacement. Uh-huh.
B-War is baseball references wins above replacement.
Their own
F-war
formula.
Is fan graphs wins above
Everybody
replacement.
Uses a little different formula within it. But in general, it's war. It's war. It's war.
The eyes rolling in the back of your head over B-War is... Yeah.
I think my least favorite one
What's your favorite war, Nick?
The Korean.
Game, the card game.
The Korean.
The card game war.
Yeah, well, I did win $700 off that, but
that's why I figured it was your favorite.
Yeah, my least favorite statistic is BABIP.
BABIP? Batting average balls in play?
Yeah.
That's your least favorite.
Yeah, what's yours?
But it's the most fun one to say.
No, that's why. Actually, I think I disagree. I wholeheartedly, that's the reason I hate it.
You don't like saying BABIP.
It sounds like it sounds just
BABIP.
Doesn't feel good coming off the tongue.
Mine is FIP, which is fielding independent pitching, which is the dumbest thing ever. It's like, what if there were no fielders for the pitcher? Like, that's not how the sport works. Like, that's the antithesis of the entire game. That scenario in which you're describing to me can't happen. Batting average balls in place is an average of how often you hit a ball at that speed, at that distance, going that direction. It's a hit. That at least tells me something. Fielding independent pitching is like, what if no one existed? What if he just pitched to people? You're like, what? I don't like it. I don't like that one. FIP. FIP is my least
Gold?
Favorite.
Gold?
I feel like you've taken the good ones here.
I've taken the with the scraps.
Yeah, like, I like whip. Whip is fun to say. Whip.
Whip. Whip, whip. Is good. And it whip. Matters. Like, it's a stat that actually matters. Walks and hits for every inning you pitch feels like it's an important one.
Whip.
Also not a fan of OPS.
Why? I mean, that's kind of important. That one's kind of
important. One's also important. On base plus slugging does matter.
Well, that's your opinion.
Okay. So you've decided that you want to join us in one of the other ones?
Yeah. Because my answer was going to be probably just war in general.
War is pretty...
Yeah, so you guys are anti-war.
Definitely. Definitely.
Cody?
Just in general, I'm anti-war. Yeah, that's not great. You could say, well, how about war, but not the, what you could go, what's the, I'm trying to think of the, VORP. You want to do that one? That's essentially the same thing, but it just sounds dumber.
What's it mean?
It's value over replacement
player. Why does it exist?
What do you mean, why does it exist?
Why, if we already have war, why do we need VORP?
Because everyone has their own thing. It's like baseball, it's not, we haven't standardized it.
Maybe that should be something.
It's like the metric system versus everybody's got their own.
I swear to God, baseball is the only sport that has 17,000 different analytical measures. Football has like a dozen. Basketball has like 20. Baseball has 17,000 of them, and I'm supposed to value all of them.
From the text line, there's more math in baseball now than in calculus class.
Like, think about just from a pitching perspective, you can have VORP, WAR, F-WAR, B-WAR, but then there's also like whiff rate, whip. There's the normal ones, right? Like whip and strikeouts, but then there's like whiff rate and strike zone percent. It's a lot, man. Baseball's got a lot. There's no doubt.
I'm not anti-analytics. I'm just saying, can we
rein it in?
Can we just pull it back a little bit? We don't need so many of them.
One or two less, and you would really be happy.
Next time we have JJ Piccolo on, Nick, we'll ask him basically if he doesn't value it the same way you do.
Why don't we just ask for his favorite analytic and his least favorite?
I'm sure that'd be a riveting discussion.
You personally,
I'll let you ask that question.
Let's do a new segment at the end of every interview. It's called, let's get real. With Nick Schwert.
Let's get real.
Yeah.
Let's get to the trash. How about that?
Trash of the day.
All right. Trash of the day here on Cody and Gold. We haven't actually had one in a little while, I feel like. So have you guys recently done like Uber Eats, DoorDash, anything like that? When's the last time you did that?
I have maybe only done DoorDash twice in my whole life.
Really?
Quite a bit during COVID.
Because every time I would be like, I'm going to do it. And then I see the price on it, I'm like, I'm going to leave this house and I'm going to go get it instead.
Well, during COVID, they had a lot of great discounts. So
they did.
That's why I did it.
I'm with you on if it's just for you, it gets pricey. Like that $10 meal becomes $18 and you're like, what the
hell? I can't ever justify.
But if you're doing it for a full family, maybe your kids, right? Maybe your kids. This certainly hasn't ever happened to you. A Texas mother left her phone around the kids. You've done that before, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay. And it was unlocked. And the kids just hop on your phone, send out tweets. Some of the bad tweets aren't your fault, right? They were your kids' fault.
Correct.
Right? Okay. Yeah. After she
left
her phone unlocked.
One of them can
write
at least.
Yeah. Her 2-year-old son ordered 31 McDonald's cheeseburgers from DoorDash.
Oh, my God.
And there's a photo of her son sitting on a countertop or a bench with 31 cheeseburgers next to him, eating one, looks so happy. She explained that her son loves the camera feature on her phone. He likes to look at his reflection instead of playing games or other activities.
This time,
he started pressing the screen, swinging it around like his arm is a roller coaster, the mother said. She then received a notification that her DoorDash ad order was taking longer than usual because although she sometimes ordered DoorDash for her two older children's lunches at school, the morning she had packed lunches. So then she said a work colleague furthered the confusion when she told the mom that her children were indeed eating their packed lunches at school, no DoorDash in sight, and it turns out she gets out a giant McDonald's bag, 31 cheeseburgers. The delivery driver was at the wrong house is what she thought initially. Then it dawned on her that her son was playing with her phone. The total dollar amount for the 31 cheeseburgers, $91.70.
Ooh, that's tough.
And her son left a nice 25% tip.
Generous. You know what? Respect for him. First, tip people. That's important. So I like that. I like to, in my brain, imagine that the kid was outside when he dropped off his cheeseburgers and he didn't care. Like, he just didn't care that he was dropping these off to a 2 or 3-year-old and instead just did this. Maybe the more... First, that's amazing. I'm glad the kid got a cheese. Anytime one of these kids does these things, I'm genuinely happy for the kid.
The kid even got some more free food. Well, not more free food. They paid for the other free food, but they were invited to meet up with the McDonald's staff, met the company mascots, took some photos, and enjoyed some free chicken nuggets because McDonald's, good PR for McDonald's, so they love
this. The most
Ronald McDonald, you know, which, by the way, Ronald McDonald, creepy.
Easily the most intriguing part about all of
this. Don't you think? The clown?
He's Ronald a friendly clown who wants to give you a cheeseburger.
The Ronald McDonald's a little creepy.
Yeah, he's not great.
Wait, are you just anti-clown in general, though?
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of clowns to begin with, but Ronald McDonald, come on. That's not a hot take. Ronald McDonald's a little creepy.
I went as Ronald McDonald for Halloween one year.
That's creepy.
So I'm creepy now. I didn't do the face paint. I did not do the face paint.
Oh.
Well, then you didn't go as Ronald McDonald.
Yeah. You were just
a clown.
Well,
the rest of it. No.
You weren't even a clown. The makeup is what makes a clown. He's just a guy in striped clothing.
You're just a weirdo at that point.
The makeup is what makes Ronald McDonald Ronald McDonald.
So now all clowns are weirdos.
It would have been more of a Ronald McDonald costume if you wore the makeup but not the clothes.
I thought the makeup would have made it more creepy.
I probably, but that's not the argument here. By the way, the most intriguing part of
all this, I can't win no matter what.
You guys don't have kids.
No.
So I guess I got to know from the text line, 913-576-7610. Are you door dashing your kid's school lunch?
Yeah, that's
interesting.
This
is ludicrous behavior. Let me just be, no way. No chance I would do that for my children. None. Zero. You can eat school lunch or the food I pack you from home. Those are your choices.
Well, it doesn't make sense because
I'm not door dashing you school lunch. You're just going to have to eat what's there or eat what lunch I packed you. We're not door dashing food to school.
You're such
now.
A hard
now,
ass.
Now, she's saying that in the article.
This
does she
is
have,
crazy. You can't do this.
Does she have older kids as well that were at school?
Clearly, yes.
Okay, because I'm like, the two-year-old's obviously not going to school getting door dash food for. So it's obviously got to have some older kids.
Is this common behavior?
I don't know.
913-576-7610. Do parents do this? And I'm being the like old fuddy.
I doubt
Like, this feels like something normal parents don't do. They don't DoorDash their kids' food to
even
their
now,
high
like
school
our,
or middle school.
Yeah,
or elementary
our
school.
High school kids having DoorDash food for long.
I used to try to get pizza delivered to school, and they hated it. They get mad at you every time. You try to like tell them to go to a door that's different from the other one, so they wouldn't go to the office.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think the school would like that because the poor office lady's got to deal with people dropping off food constantly. I don't think you can just DoorDash food to your high school, right? For lunch? That
feels
doesn't
like,
seem like something that'd be allowed.
Feels like no, but I don't know.
I mean, that would
We're
be amazing.
We're old enough now that we don't know the answer to these questions anymore. That's for sure.
Well, DoorDash wasn't around when we
I'm
were
not
in
paying
high school.
$22 so you can eat a cheeseburger at school lunch. No. This isn't happening.
They didn't even have cars when Cody was in high school.
That's accurate.
Someone says they delivered a good amount to high schools. Like in school, like not after hours.
To
like
the
actually,
schools?
Wow. Someone says disposable income has to be disposed of somehow.
This seems crazy to me that a parent would pay
now,
for
now,
the
text line points out you didn't want to buy your kid a pinata. So, I mean, not necessarily.
I didn't want to buy it.
I mean, it's been firmly established you're a massive cheap ass.
That's not true.
Oh, see, here we go.
I bought my kid a whole bounce house.
From the 816, this person says they're a high school teacher. Students order it for themselves. They had to ban it because it was such a nuisance.
Interesting. See, this feels more likely. Yeah. Like, I can't even believe it's allowed, let alone
I get why
actually
they
doing it as a parent.
I totally understand why they would ban it. Like, that makes complete sense. That would be annoying after a while. Now, as a high school student, if you told me that every once in a while I could DoorDash some Chipotle, that would have been incredible.
All right, I just got a text. Just got a text from the one and only B-Dub.
Okay.
Producer, Fesco in the morning.
Did you know he has a
6
barbecue
to 10 a.m.,
610
Sports Radio.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, let's not bury the lead here, though.
Okay.
B-Dub says, quote, I DoorDash at least once a week for baby girl. She's a freshman.
What?
Freshman in high school.
Wow.
What?
Yep.
This is crazy.
Wow,
I didn't know this was a thing.
Spoiling. Big time.
Or he just likes to take care of his daughter.
I mean, that's amazing.
Look, I'm not going to be the person to be like, you know, you do too many nice things for your kids. That's nice to do nice things for your kids. I think that's good. It just didn't feel like DoorDashing food to your kids at school feels great. Why can't I just pack them food?
Yeah, Nick, I think this is a good text from the 816. Cody gets free food from the Crown Club. The Clown Club.
That's
the
true.
Crown Club,
you're
so
just,
he's not used to paying.
You're just used to getting everything comped. So the second you're asked to pay a single dime for a meal, all of a sudden you feel like you're being wrong.
Again, not true. I have a hard time personally even justifying, but so the idea of like sending it to school.
Yeah, everybody's parents differently. I agree with
you.
That
would
be a
little
crazy.
My parents didn't even pack my lunch. We didn't even do that. We didn't even go that far. We just ate school lunch. Like what they had there was, but that's fine. You want to pack your kids' lunch?
Well, every once in a while we would sneak. So we did not have open lunch.
Yeah,
we could not leave. But
we could neither.
But we found out a way to sneak out. We had two gyms. So if you snuck out one gym, came in the front door, act like you were just getting to school, the front desk lady wouldn't have any means to tell that you weren't just getting there. So we would sneak out the gym door, go to McDonald's, come back.
we would call the place, try to give specific instructions, try to get them to go to different doors, right? We would try these things, like, go, and then I'd go down there, and the principal would look at me, and he'd be like, Cody, come on, man. I told you to stop doing this. Mm. And you're like, yeah, but the pizza's already here, so is it cool if I just pay this guy and eat this? Like, yes, but stop doing it. I assume that that's how DoorDash. I don't know why they would want that many people having food DoorDash to the school.
That's the trash of the day. Up next, it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. A number was thrown out when it comes to the NFL this season, and we'll see if you agree with the number that Pete Sweeney had for us yesterday. That's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2. Listen live or on demand right from your phone with the Odyssey app. 610 Sports Radio. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear, the right fit for work, eeworkwear.com. So this was interesting from Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, the editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride, and he was going through the NFL teams heading into the season. He does a podcast for SB Nation as well, their NFL show. And one of the topics they were throwing around was, all right, out of the NFL teams, how many do you say are top 10 worthy, top 10 potential, where it wouldn't surprise you next season if they are a top 10 team at one point in time? So Pete Sweeney got 15 of them. He said there's 15 teams.
That's a lot.
It seemed like a lot. I think just like on the surface, you're like, that seems like a lot of teams that you think potentially could be top 10 teams heading in. We know the NFL's got great parity. What was your reaction just to hearing 15? Because, of course, we all went through and did the same thing, too.
So, at first, I think, personally, a little bit, the difference is I view it kind of how the NFL teams view first-round grades. I don't think there are always 10 teams that are top 10 worthy. I think sometimes if there's this big mess between 7 and 13, and none of them are top 10 teams. They just existed. And while at first I scoffed at Pete's number of 15, I added them up myself, and I had 14. That's close enough. Like, I'm in the same ballpark, that same range, which means I think that this is about as great a parity as you can have in the NFL. I know generally we think that about the NFL, but I cannot think of a year in which I assumed there were more teams who are legitimate, like legitimately deserving of a top 10 spot in the NFL. The teams that you really get hung up on are Philadelphia, San Francisco, New Orleans, Vegas. Those are the ones that I think, Denver. These are the ones, Dallas. These are the ones that I think people are arguing between, are they actually top 10 worthy? I know you scoff at Dallas because they were certainly a better team than the Raiders last year, or Miami, right? There's a lot of that mess, but I do think that there are 14 teams you can make the argument for, because I think you have to make it for Miami. You have to make it for New England based on what they did last year. I think you have to make it for San Francisco. They've been to two NFC title games in the last four years. That's how I got to 14. Yeah. Those fringe teams, if they've accomplished something or have made enough difference with their team, then saying fringe top 10, I don't think is absurd with them.
So I only have 12 I went through and did. So I had 12 teams that have top 10 potential. A couple at the end that I can't get on board with that you mentioned, like the Niners. You're right, what they've done in the past. But right now, Trey Lance is their quarterback, man. So I don't top 10 potential with Trey Lance, who's never played. No, I don't see that. So that's the issue. I know we all love Kyle Shanahan and everything. But like that
top five defense in the NFL,
but Trey
no matter
Lance,
who's been in their offense, it's like Andy Reid. They score points. They are successful.
Yeah, but Jimmy Garoppolo has been the quarterback the whole time for Kyle Shanahan. I know we poke fun at Garoppolo. Trey Lance could be complete crap for all we know. I can't already. Again, the question is heading into the season, who has top 10 potential? I get if we're going to just go based off of willing to accept that an unknown quarterback puts you there, then I can list 18 or 19 teams if we're going to play by those.
Because
rules.
Indianapolis is another one where you're saying, is that a top 10 team in the NFL?
So here's the 12. We'll see if we have crossover. You obviously have a couple more teams here. Obviously the Bills, right? Bills, Bengals, Ravens, Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Dallas, Green Bay, Rams, Bucks, Colts, Titans. Those are the 12 that I think at some point we could say, you know what? Top 10 team next year.
Titans is the same one. Like, I would probably think that it wouldn't shock me if they'd be excluded at some point this year, but I'm not going to exclude them now. And if you told me Deshaun Watson was starting week one, I think then you'd have to include...
Yeah, I left the Browns off because more and more it sure seems like he's getting at least eight games, doesn't it?
Yes.
So therefore,
I don't know how you can discount even. I know with like the 49ers are the one that I think I would fight the hardest for. Okay. Out of the ones. Also, yeah. What about Denver?
I have Denver in there.
Okay, because like that's another one that I think
that's part of the 12.
Or the Colts.
I have the Colts in there.
Or the Dolphins.
I don't have the Dolphins there. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not a Tua believer. That's the problem. That's
just him in particular.
That's the problem for me.
Rookie coach, but they have, I mean,
brand new coach, and
they got about as much offensive talent as you would like on any team in the NFL.
Sure, but like a lot of, I mean, this is the issue when we even talk about the AFC West.
Did you even mention Arizona? Were they on your list?
Arizona's not there. I'm so out on.
See, then that's the other, like, that's where I, see, this is how I got to 14. Some of those teams that I missed listed, I left off, but
Hopkins is out for 6 games. You know, we saw what that offense looked like when Hopkins was out for the back half of last season. They fell apart.
I do think that,
but yes, Arizona ops, if you want to throw them in, make it 13. I still can't get to the 15 number.
The Chiefs have more competition than they've ever had. This is where, because even if you're only at 12, and I think you'd probably be on the conservative, and Nick, I don't know if you added yours up or not. Pete says it's 15. You're saying it's 12. I'm saying it's 14. But I mean, if, and I won't answer for Nick because I'm learning a valuable lesson. I'll allow him to answer for himself. How many teams did you have? Did you add them up?
HIPAA.
Okay. Smart. So he's not going to answer just yet. But even if it's like the low end of 12, that to me, I'm not going to go through it. That's more than I would give it in a normal year. In a normal year, top 10 teams to me means I give you a chance to make a title game. Like if you're a top 10 team, you have a chance to make a title game going into the season. It's not absurd to say our goal is to make an AFC or NFC title game. Doesn't mean I think you're going to win it or those things, but I think it's plausible. With San Francisco, I have a hard time saying it's not plausible because they're Denver. With Denver, because of Russell Wilson, I have a hard time saying it's not plausible for those teams. Similar for Dallas or even to a point Indianapolis. And some of this might be skewed because Tennessee has gone there recently. So I'm starting to think some of these lesser teams with those quarterbacks going in there can do it. But this is more teams than I would normally say. Because in a given year, I would normally say it's 7 or 8. That's how many teams I take seriously. But because the NFC and the AFC are such messes, and maybe that's the problem. The top 10 thing in the NFC is a lot muddier. Because if I told you right now the Eagles made an NFC championship game, you wouldn't call me an absurdist. You would say, long shot, I don't think that that's the year for them. But A.J. Brown, nice rookie year out of a wide receiver last year, Hurts in the running team, and they were a good defensive team. Like, there's a way in which it happens. Yeah. They're the 49ers of this year. I have a hard time predicting it would happen, but it's not absurdist. So should they be a fringe top 10 team if I think they can make an NFC title game? And the answer to me is, it's weird, because like, if they were in the AFC, they'd be like the 8th, 9th best team. But in the NFC, they're like the 4th, they're probably like the 4th best team in the NFC, 5th best team in the NFC. So I'm having a hard time drawing the line there. But there's more competition than there's ever been. How many teams would you completely eliminate? Like the year, like they're not making the playoffs. 7?
Because
that's the other, that's how you end up getting to 15. Because there's only a handful you would eliminate. You don't even have to think that hard about it. Texans, the Jags, Lions, the Texans. Jags, Giants, Panthers, Falcons. No chance. Bears, probably.
Yep.
No chance. Yes. I mean, Drew Lock's a starter in Seattle. Okay, so I'm getting to a little higher number than I'm probably giving you credit for. But that's like the top 10 potential is like the Vikings, a team we haven't mentioned at all.
Yeah, they're an unknown against another team with a new coach.
But Kirk Cousins, a reliable NFL starting quarterback who ranks somewhere in the top 15, one of the best wide receivers in the entire NFL, and a dynamic running back with a decent defense. Like, that seems like the kind of team that you can make an argument for top 10.
This is the problem, though, with how good we think the AFC West is going to be, and it makes sense based on rosters. You still have a second-year head coach who cost his team multiple wins last year out in L.A. You have another first-year head coach out in Las Vegas and Josh McDaniel. And you have Hackett in Denver, who's another first-time, first-year head coach. And so when we go through and even are doing the same exercise with someone like Mike McDaniel down in Miami, comes over from San Francisco, everybody loves the guy. But still, first-year head coach, big unknown there. Like Zach Taylor, a couple years in, got over the hump. He got Joe Burrow and all that. But year one, Zach Taylor didn't have a good roster, but he also made mistakes. Like, it's hard for me to bank on first-year head coaches making a leap to where they're a first-year head coach for a top 10 team. It's just really tough for me to do that across the board.
I mean, it does happen, though, right? We see some, because a lot of times the problem is we don't assume that a first-year coach is because normally forced year coaches come into situations that aren't good. Like, you know, they just do. They just come into bad situations. Although the Chargers situation wasn't all that bad, especially because they had Justin Herbert immediately. But that's constantly the issue we kind of run into. And you're right. There's mediocrity. But top 10 is not the 10th best team in the NFL. Often is a team that has serious question marks. Because I see the Texans saying, like, hey, whatever Cody's smoking, those are like, I mean, but think about who the 10th best team is in any given year. You know, like, it's just, that's where you start making those arguments. And if last year, the 10th best team probably had a decent chance to make an NFC title game at the very least, right? I mean, that the 10th best team in the league last year was the Bengals. That's incredible. So they did make it based on record. But around them were the Cardinals, the Raiders, who I don't know that I had a real chance to do it, but went there. Patriots, 49ers were below them. They were the 15th best record team in the NFL last year. I mean, I feel like we're running right back into that same thing. It's the NFC is particularly messy, but the AFC is such an unknown because there are so many good teams. I just don't know. And that's why that top 10 gets so spread out, because there are seven teams in the AFC that I do not think absurd probably that have a chance to make an AFC title game. I mean, that's off the top of my head. I can't eliminate the Titans, the Bills, the Chiefs, like even to the point, like, can I really, the Chargers? I mean, I can't, the Broncos, I can't take those teams out of the Ravens. I can't take those teams out of possibility to make it.
Yeah,
like, it's not that hard to get to that list.
Yeah. Again, we have mostly the same teams. There's just like two or three that I don't have on there.
Are you arguing with someone on the text line?
Yes. Someone's very upset. Someone's very upset that I said DeAndre Hopkins is sitting out the first six games. I was told that he's not sitting out. He's suspended. I guess we're getting to very semantics on this.
It feels like
he didn't like that you called it voluntary.
But yes.
I'm not judging you for it, but nobody, it's not that other people don't. I get into people on the text line, but it's usually like a one and done. It's usually like a boom.
No, you're an idiot.
You know,
that's
you're an
usually
idiot.
What you do. They,
hey, you guys sound like idiots. And I'll say, you're the one who sounds like the idiot. And then it's done. I feel like you really like to get into conversations with people on the text line.
What's worse, though? Just calling someone an idiot and stopping, or actually trying to have a conversation with someone? I try to have a conversation with someone.
I think the conversation. You should be having a conversation with us.
I am. I can do both. I can multitask.
I don't think that you should be dividing your attention.
I can multitask.
I think they've actually said that it's impossible for the human brain to multitask. Your brain cannot focus on two things at once.
No, I'm actually shockingly, I was able to do both.
Studies. No, there've been studies.
My favorite on the text line is when the person's like, fine, I'll just contact your boss. Please do.
Actually, what's, yeah.
Please do.
At SteveInspector10. At SteveInspector10, you can just tweet at him.
Please do. More. We really actually enjoy when that happens.
The other part is, I don't know that I would categorize this as a full conversation. Your sentences are, so he's sitting out the first six games, moron. Please do. I don't respond to dummies.
Well, now you're miscategorizing the entire conversation. You're making it seem like I'm saying that when he hasn't said anything else.
No. I'm saying, but your responses are pretty short. Your responses
because
I'm
doing a radio show.
But I feel like you're giving them exactly what they want, which is a response and then another one and then another
you
one.
You get sassy on the text line.
You do get sassy. That's a good way to put it.
Sassy. That's
sassy,
how I would describe
Alex.
Well, yeah, because as we've talked about this before, like when someone anonymously will text in, they think they can say whatever the bleep they want. And I like to call them out for it. That's all.
No, I do too. I do. I liked calling people out.
And that's
out
why,
too.
Again, we encourage, like, I love my favorite response is, fine, I'll just contact your boss. And we all respond and say, sure, please do. Please do.
His email is stephen.spector@odyssey.com. If you've got some complaints about this show, that is his actual email.
Now I see what we're getting. Now what we just opened up.
Oh,
now people are just going to start insulting us on the text line to see if we will respond.
Now this person said, I miss you all texting back. So I just responded, I'm sorry we don't. I love you, Cody.
I like when people say, like, I'll be contacting the corporate office.
Yes, please.
I'm calling Odyssey Corporate.
Yes.
And telling them that one of your hosts called me a moron.
After I may have called them something else, but he called me a moron back. Yes, this is true.
I've called people worse on the text line.
Yeah.
I never respond.
I've told people,
I've told people
to put things places.
You have, actually. Yeah, you have.
Haven't heard from corporate yet.
Not yet.
Still waiting.
Not yet.
Still waiting on a formal corporate email.
Yeah.
I don't know. Were they sending an email or is that a call situation?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the policy is there.
You know they'd have to leave a voicemail. You got some number from some number in Philadelphia.
I don't
answer. In corporate, you're picking up some number in Philadelphia. They're going to have to send an email to let you know that they need to talk. That's the way it's going to go.
Text line's great.
Text line's right, really taking a turn.
Here we go.
There's going to be a lot of people for you to respond to now.
I love it.
The text line is, I can't refresh quick enough right at this
moment.
It's
fantastic.
Someone said Specs email should be funsucker@odyssey.com.
Hey, that's my boss you're talking about. You know what? Wow. And you know what? I'm not going to sit here and take that.
Wow.
I'm not going to sit here and let you talk about our fearless leader that way.
You stand up for him.
Best boss I've ever had.
Someone says,
How many bosses have you had?
So many. That's why it's that impressive.
From the text line, I'll be contacting all of your parents as well. Yes, exactly. You contact whoever you need to contact. Please do.
I'll look up my dad's email if you really want to send him an email letting him know that you're disappointed in something I've said on the air.
I go home. My dad's just taking off his belt. He goes, I heard about what you said on the text line.
It's coming after you, Nick.
Oh, goodness. All right, let's...
I think Binkley's the most aggressive in the text line. So Gold's still not the champion.
Binkley will talk for, like, multiple hours to people back and forth on the text line. Like, he'll...
I think you rank somewhere, like, second or third on the texter response list.
Oh, I do like to respond to people. Definitely. Yeah.
No, I mean in an aggression level. Like,
it depends, yeah.
Nick he's just so short in his. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
What do you mean I'm short?
Like, you one off him. You're just like, you're an idiot. And then it just ends.
Well, Nick will do, like, someone will be like, you guys should shut up. And Nick will just respond, no, you shut up.
I like to be as childish as possible. That's my whole strategy. I'm not actually willing to engage you in what you want to talk about. Like, whatever you're mad about, I'm not going to actually recognize it. I'm just going to repeat whatever you said back to you.
Someone says, Bink has threatened to block them 3 times. It's been a long time since I blocked anybody. I think Nick's blocked someone more recently than I.
I blocked somebody 2 days ago.
For really? What?
Yeah, what did they do? I didn't even see anything.
They said something. I was sticking up for somebody else at the station.
Oh, okay.
They made an inappropriate joke about somebody else at the station, and I said, good one, dumbass, and I blocked them. That was yesterday.
Yesterday. Boy, really just fresh start to the week.
It was a personal attack. Like, there are things like, when you make it personal, like, you're done.
So it said, no, you got to call Nick's girlfriend's dad to see if that's the type of boy he wants around his daughter. Oh. It sounded like it went fine the last time. Nick just got a little drunk.
And that's not even confirmed, quite frankly.
I saw you that day and you were drunk.
I was happy.
I was just in a good mood.
Yeah, I was.
Can't be in a good mood?
Yeah, I can't be in a good mood and have my breath smell like whiskey at the same time without being accused of
being
drunk.
Now we're just having people ask, am I blocked? Am I going to respond to all? Oh. No. The last two people texted, you're not blocked. No. For the most part, no, it appears you're not. I've never blocked anyone. I'm a man of the people.
You've never blocked anyone?
Never. I like to have people's voices heard.
Yeah, there's multiple
I've only
times.
Ever blocked one person on Twitter that wasn't like a bot.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I block people on Twitter. It's just like there's a line. I think everybody knows it that you can't cross in terms of being offensive. Like, I don't care if you call anybody an idiot or stupid. That takes socks.
There's a different level to get blocked. Yeah. There's a whole different level you got to go to.
This person from the 316 says that Henry Lake blocked them years ago for saying Sinatra was overrated. See, that seems too far.
Well, it seems like you've gotten unblocked. So
good news.
Have you reconsidered your stance on Frank Sinatra?
Be careful.
He's got a lot of hits. He's got a lot of hits, guys.
Be careful. Because if you think he's overrated, we might be having to block you again.
That's the Chiefs Red Half Hour, I guess. A lot of Chiefs talk there in the end there.
Well, you know. Sometimes you get sidetracked.
Speaking of blocking, Creed Humphrey.
He's good at it.
Very good at blocking.
Yeah. I hope they do a good job blocking on this year's team. I don't know about you guys.
Very important to block well.
It's one of my favorite actions in football.
Blocking?
The blocking.
Yeah.
I prefer catches, but that's fine.
Kicking.
You're
holding.
our top favorite positions in football. We'll get to those later on this summer in our long summer series. That's clearly going to happen. Yeah,
our favorite football motions.
Uh-huh. Positions, motions for football. sometime in July here on 610 Sports Radio. All right, up next, we get to what's trending, and we get right back into what the Chiefs' plan is, and Cody thinks they're going to have to win in one particular way.
You're listening to Cody and Gold on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.